All right. Well, praise the Lord. We want to just share a few announcements this morning, and hopefully that you'll give your fullest attention when I give these very, very important announcements. You know, we're in the fourth Sabbath of comfort, and it was included in our weekly update. You know, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's what we've been speaking about last couple of weeks, about the good news of the gospel. And back in Isaiah, God made that promise, you know, that one day he would bring this good news. We know that good news was fulfilled in Yeshua when he came to earth to share this good news that can set people free. And so these are all Sabbaths of comfort that we, seven Sabbaths of comfort from, they began just on the weekend after Tisha B'Av, the saddest day in Jewish history, and then count seven Sabbaths, and we come to Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And so that's what we're preparing for. We've also included a proverb for the day in our update. A man's wisdom gives him patience, to his glory, to overlook an offense. And I'm going to be talking a bit about that today, because during the month of Elul, that's what we deal with, is offenses. And then also listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you'll be wise. So we need to really always be willing to listen to instruction. And so hopefully when I share my word today, it is an instruction. And hopefully that you take heed and hear God's word, and it will help you to become wise. Let me just share some announcements. We have our oneg today, which everyone who's visiting, don't rush away. You're welcome to come downstairs and join us and have some refreshments and to be renew yourself and refresh yourself and get to know some of our mishpacha, our family. And we really hope you can come and join us. A special mazel tov to the Prices, you know, who last weekend they had their son married, and then just a few days later, they had a baby. They have a grandson, and they're great as the Lord. What's that? Yeah, I know. I mean, and then great as the Lord. Two different sons. One son, God is my strength, was married last Saturday, and then on Tuesday, I believe they had a. Wednesday? Monday. Wow. So they have a new grandson. And so a healthy little boy. So mazel tov to them. Okay. Okay, and then also today we're going to have a special time during Oneg for a couple of special little boys who were born. And both named Samuel. And that's our son's name too, is Samuel. So it's a very popular name today. And we're going to be honoring that time together with these families during our oneg, and so everyone is invited to be part of that. Baby shower is not just for mothers and wives, it's for husbands too. At least ours is this week. Also, just wanted to know that we have Messianic calendars that are available. Beautiful Messianic calendars, and I said last night at Erev Shabbat dinner, everyone has to have a Messianic calendar. If you're part of a Messianic congregation especially, you have to have a Messianic calendar. I don't have one in front of me right now, but we do have them available. You know, just go and speak to Shoshana, and she will give you a Messianic calendar, because it describes all the holidays and all of the Torah readings and other special. There's beautiful pictures of Israel, so, and it's a... It's a really beautiful calendar this year, so hopefully you'll pick one up. And also, I do have a scriptural prayer guide that I put together that I encourage you to take hold of, because it really is intended to help you. Lots of people ask, how do you pray? How can you pray for Israel? A lot of people, we're told to pray for Israel, but we don't really know exactly how and what we should pray. Well, this is a guide to help you know how to pray for Israel. And it actually gives you seven reasons why we should pray for Israel. And it includes the Amidah prayer, which we only read a portion of it on Shabbat. We read the first one, but there's actually 18, you know, blessings and prayers that are included in this guide that I hope that you will read through and pray through and personalize. And then, of course, we have a number of prayer points that covers five categories. The first one includes God's faithfulness to Israel and how he is a covenant-keeping God. The second is a prayer for the gathering of the Jewish people. The third is God's promise to judge those nations who are anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. And the fourth is to pray for the Messianic community in Israel and Messianic congregations. And the fifth is prayer for peace of Jerusalem and the salvation of our people. And so these are our scriptures. You know, a lot of them are scriptures, and so it's really powerful to personalize God's word and to pray those scriptures as we pray. So these are just available on the back table for, you know, just as a donation, just to help cover the costs of printing it. So keep that in mind. You know, we need to always be in prayer for Israel. So here are the calendars, Messianic calendars that you can, you know, you can hopefully get even today. And also, we have a Hayasod, a study on God's appointed times that will be coming up this fall. We had a wonderful response to our last one, How You Sow the Foundations. And so now we're going to do the Feast of the Lord, God's appointed times, all the spring feasts, all the fall feasts. And so that's going to begin September. So we need to know how many people are interested in being a part of this. And so, John, if you could just take this on sign-up sheet and just put it on the back table. And just feel free to sign your name if you're interested in. Didn't have a little clipboard to go around this time, so we'll hopefully do that next week. And I think that's okay. Other than the fact that the Shekinah seniors, I keep saying singers, but yeah, we do sing. That's true. Far, far away. No, I'm just kidding. The young at heart. And so next week we're going to once again be meeting at Sandy Beach Park. It seems to have become a popular place next Thursday at 1 p.m. And it'll be a time of sharing. So hopefully you can, last time it was John and I shared our testimony. And so this time is going to be a bit of an open time. So come this coming Thursday at 1 p.m. and bring something special for that day. And I think that's all I'm going to share for the announcements, because the time is getting on. You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I finished at 10 after 2. At 12. No. 10 after 12. It's already 5 to 12. John says, I have 10 minutes for this message. Okay, well, today is the first day of the month of Elul. And Elul is the 6th month. See, holiness requires preparation. We don't just rush into the fall feast. We prepare our hearts. And we know that God wants us to be holy, because no man can see God and live with us. He's holy. And so this is what God is doing in this present age. He's preparing us so that when we step into his presence, that we will be a radiant bride without spot or blemish. And so the Elul is the 6th month on the Jewish calendar. It's known as the month of preparation of God's appointed times. And that will be observed in the 7th month of Tishri. And Elul begins an important 40-day period. Is a time of testing, a time of preparation that ends on Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year. And the 7th month is considered the holiest month of the year because there are 3 feasts in this 1 month. And we know the fall feasts follow a 21-day cycle. And this year, Yom Teruah, also called Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins on Friday evening, September the 15th. And of course, then we'll observe it on the Saturday morning as well. And then we have Yom Kippur, 10 days later from Rosh Hashanah, from Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur is 10 days called the 10 Days of Awe. And it will be observed on Sunday, September the 24th. And then on Monday, we spend the day in prayer. And it's a time of fasting and prayer for Israel. And then 5 days later, Erev Sukkot is celebrated on Friday, September 29th and 30th. So all these feasts will begin in September. So they're early this year. But every year I say the same thing. You know, it's hard to believe it's that time of the year again. Before we know it, we'll be hearing 100 blasts of the shofar to signal the beginning of a new year. And for some reason, time just seems to be flying by. Have you noticed that? I guess that's what happens when you get older. You become a lot more conscious about time and our time on this earth. And so our times become shorter. And we're certainly living in prophetic times. And the times do seem to be getting shorter and shorter. And there's actually a time of reflection and repentance. And the next slide is a reminder of Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have strength, But even in the best years, even the best years are filled with pain and trouble, and soon they disappear and we fly away. And all the suffering in this present time is not worth being compared to the glory that will one day be revealed to us. And so even though we may live a good full life, does not mean that we don't have our challenges. I know that Estella can relate to that. And so it's all going to fly away one day, and you won't even think about it anymore when we go through all the suffering in this life. But I came across an interesting quote about time. If you want to just turn to that. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, it can never come back. That's interesting, isn't it? And so the moral of the story is to make the most of your time, because you'll never get it back once it's spent. And in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present a heart of wisdom." And Paul said in Ephesians 5:15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." We all have 168 hours in 1 week. Use your time wisely. And that's a good word for us. You know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been doing a series of messages on the qualities of a disciple and the importance of being obedient to the Great Commission. And since we're less than 40 days until Yom Teruah, we need to focus our Shabbat services on preparing ourselves for the special season, because this is really an important month that we're preparing for. God's appointed times, they all have a very special purpose and meaning. And I'm still going to try to emphasize this theme in the fall feasts, because they're all about repentance, about turning from our sin. And that's really what Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah is, a call, a worldwide call to repentance, a time to wake up from our slumber and our sleep, because judgment is coming on Yom Kippur. And then if we choose life, then we can enter into the blessings of Sukkot, the season of our joy. But in John 5:24-29, this is what Yeshua said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment." And so there will be two judgments, one for the righteous, one for the unrighteous. And for us as believers, we will not be judged for our sin. We'll be judged by what we've accomplished in this life. It'll be, as Ellie shared last week, we will be rewarded for what we've done or what we haven't done in this life. And so that's why it's so important for us to be obedient, you know, to God's, you know, commandments in his word, because it brings forth great blessing. So this is the message of the fall feast. Those who hear his word and believe in him the Father has sent has eternal life. I mean, it's really encouraging to know that when we depart from this earth, that we'll not come into judgment, but we've been passed out of death into eternal life. And that we know that our names are inscribed in the book of life. And that's really what the message of Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah is: may your name be inscribed in the book of life. I mean, it's exciting to know that our names are inscribed in the book of life. And hopefully everyone here knows that. You know that you have believed in Yeshua, you trust in him, and you know that your name is inscribed in the book of life. It will not be blotted out. Because the fruit of repentance is forgiveness of our sins and the freedom to rejoice in God's presence as we, you know, as we enter into the Feast of Sukkot, the season of our joy. You know, all three fall feasts have a redemptive theme. The whole plan of salvation is revealed in the gospel. It's fulfilled in God's appointed times. The spring feast and the fall feast, they all have a redemptive theme associated with them. We know that all the feasts have historic, messianic, and prophetic meaning, but they also have a redemptive meaning. The whole plan of redemption is revealed in each one of them. Now, last week I spoke about how one quality of a disciple is to be committed to the Word of God. And I shared some alarming statistics. How many in the body of Messiah are weak and powerless in their faith because they have neglected the Word of God. And so before I get my message into my message today, I'd really like to just spend a little bit more time talking about the importance of this truth, about the importance of God's Word, because it's so essential, you know, to our faith. And I read, last weekend, I read a news story. When I got home, I read a news story from CBN, which is, you know, Christian Broadcasting News. It's really, they provide accurate information, not fake news. It's accurate news of what's happening in the world today in the political arena and also in the spiritual realm. And I encourage you to download this app, CBN, because it's really a good news network to read about all the things that are happening in the body of Messiah and around the world. But there's a prominent pastor by the name of Michael Yosef who confirmed what I was sharing last weekend. He wrote about the condition of the body of Messiah today, and he said there's a lot of scriptural ignorance among most believers, and the biblical illiteracy is rampant. It's widespread in the body of Messiah today. I'm reminded of the scripture from Amos 8, 11 to 13. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but hearing the words of Adonai. And so people will wander. It doesn't have that in this one here. So people will wander from sea to sea and roam from north to east, searching for the word of Adonai, but they will not find it. One day, we may not have the opportunity to have the word of God so available, something that we all take for granted. Many of us have many Bibles around the house. But how often do we pick one up and read it regularly and daily? You know, just this past week, in the water in our neighborhood was suddenly cut off without notice. We were without water for 2 days. And so the city brought in water trucks for the neighbors to go down the street and to carry. So we brought down jugs and we filled up our water, you know, over those 2 days. But, you know, water is something that we just take for granted. We just turn on the water and it's there. We just take it for granted. And, you know, because of the drought, we're facing a drought right now. And because of the drought, for the first time ever, the city has imposed water restrictions. And this has been a hot, dry summer, as we know. And it's really the year of the fire. You know, as I've mentioned in our prayer time, it's Canada is literally on fire. And all across Canada, in BC, in Alberta, in Quebec, now the Northwest Territories, hundreds of thousands of acres of land and forests have been burned to the ground and many homes destroyed. And Yellowknife is now a ghost town. It's been evacuated because of fire that's sweeping their communities. And then there was a terrible fire in Hawaii that we all heard about. Over 100 people died. And you never expect to have a fire in beautiful Hawaii. We always think of Hawaii as just a beautiful place to go and lay on the sandy beaches and soak in the sun. But here they had this terrible fire. It does seem strange that there have been so many fires this year. And my view is that it really doesn't have anything to do with climate change, as a lot of people are trying to say. I know there's human involvement, but I believe we are experiencing birth pangs. You know, a few years ago we had the pandemic, and that was a worldwide birth pang. But now we're experiencing these fires that are breaking out everywhere. And records are being broken everywhere. This is the worst, hottest summer ever. And Yeshua said, last days there will be famine and drought and earthquakes. These were some of the signs of the birth pangs that are coming. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. With all the heat, I wouldn't be surprised if the world experiences a major earthquake. You know, and that's very possible. I know that, you know, California has been predicting one for some time now, and so we never, it's not a matter of if, but when that may happen. So we're certainly living in prophetic times today. But, you know, just as we take our water for granted, we take the Word of God for granted. We can always pick up our Bibles and read it whenever we want. But one day, we may not have that opportunity. It may be outlawed. we will not be able to have one. You know, just this past week in India, religious zealots burned 300 churches to the ground and sexually assaulted many Christian women. There's a tremendous persecution of believers in other areas of the world that we don't often hear about, but there's a lot of persecution happening. A lot of believers are losing their lives because they're trying to defend their faith. And we started to see signs of persecution in North America, and I believe that will continue to increase as we get closer to the coming of the Messiah. So but then we know that in these last days, the world is being prepared for the anti-Messiah to be revealed. And one sign of the last days is that there will be a great falling away from the faith. And it tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, verses 1 to 3. We now ask you, brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and are gathering together to him, not to be shaken or disturbed either by spirit or a word or a letter, as if through us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one destined to be destroyed. And so we know that Yeshua, that Paul warned us about this great falling away. And again in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, now the Ruach, the Spirit, clearly says that in latter days some will fall away from the true faith, following deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. And these people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. So prior to the Messiah's return, many believers will fall away and be deceived because they have not been grounded in the Word of God. You know, this is a troubling trend today in our culture, a lack of biblical knowledge of what the Scriptures teach. And because many believers are not grounded in the Word of God and in sound doctrine of what they believe, it's fueling many believers and congregations to teach heretical views that really compromise the Word of God. And so Yeshua warned us that in the last days that false messiahs and false prophets, we read that in the Torah portion today. But Yeshua also said that in Matthew 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the very elect, if this were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So be prepared. Be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. And so I really want to emphasize the importance of spending daily time in God's Word and His presence. That's so vital to our faith, so that we will not be deceived in these last days, because we have a great deceiver in the world today. That we need to be diligent to present ourselves as proof to God as workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. We're not quite there yet, Julie. And so we should be reading the Bible every year. Every year, reading through, John and I make it a point of reading through the Bible every year and studying it. You know, there are Bible apps available that you can put yourself on 1 year reading plan. And so I really encourage you, if you don't read the Bible regularly, to really make that a special priority for this coming year, that you'll commit yourself to reading God's Word. So that's, I didn't really, you know, that's part, that was just my introduction, not my main message. Well, not really, but that was part of my message, but it's a very important message. If there is ever a month that encapsulates the message of the good news of the kingdom, it's the month of Elul. Yeshua came preaching a message of repentance towards God and reconciliation with one another. You know, the main theme of Yeshua's messages wherever he went and ministered was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sin. In Hebrew, it's teshuvah, for the kingdom of God has come. And these were the words of Yochanan, the forerunner of the Messiah. And that was really the first Sabbath of comfort that we began. It was from Isaiah 40. And here in Mark 2, or Mark 1, 2, and 3, you know, Mark quotes from Isaiah 40. a prophecy that spoke about the coming of Yochanan, John the Immerser. He says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. The time has come. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. Doesn't share all that. This was Yeshua's message. After Yochanan was crying in the wilderness, he was calling people to repent. When Yochanan completed his mission, Yeshua began his. And he began to speak the same words that Yochanan spoke. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this has been the same message for the past 2,000 years. In every generation, believers have called people to repent and turn from the sin, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Ezekiel 33, I think there's the next one, Ezekiel 33. As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then should you die, O house of Israel? See, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is a long-suffering, patient God. It's not his will for anyone to perish, but for all to come to knowledge of the truth. God is a very patient, long-suffering God. He's been patient with us, even we are disobedient. It's because of his love for us that's unconditional. But tradition teaches, Jewish tradition teaches, that the month of Elul is particularly favorable, a favorable time for repentance, simply because there are many of God's people humbling themselves and repenting. So the synagogues will be filled with Jewish people as we draw near to Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur especially. They'll be there to repent and humble themselves before God. You know, in Israel, the Western Wall will be absolutely packed with people, you know, coming to pray and to repent of their sins. And that's really, Israel really needs that right now, because they're a nation that's divided. And I hope that during this month of the fall feast, that many of our people will humble themselves and repent and just forget about all this nonsense that they are buying into, that the government is trying to, you know, take away democracy. And it's just not true at all. It's just a lie of the enemy. So I pray that God would really get a hold of our people in Israel and really bring them to that place of repentance, especially during the season of repentance. So it's time to return to the Lord, to rend our hearts and our garments. And so this month, it's a time to examine and humble ourselves before the Holy One of Israel. You know, just as the shape of the shofar is bent, so our hearts are to be bent and humble before the Lord, before Adonai and one another. So the month of Elul is all about preparing our hearts to meet with the King in preparation for the coming year. So Elul begins a 40-day period of preparation and self-examination. And as we enter into the appointed times, God is eager to meet with us. God really loves to meet with us, to fellowship with us. He's available 24/7. Any moment of the day, he's there. I mean, it's amazing to think that the God of the universe, who's omnipresent, that he can hear the heart's cry of over 8 billion people in the world today. And to know exactly what they're saying and thinking and praying. But yet, the heart of the fall feast is spiritual renewal and returning to our first love. As I established the appointed times, not only to remind us of the great things he has done through Israel, but to provide opportunity for us to revive and refresh our hearts so we can begin fresh, we can wipe the slate clean and be renewed as we begin another year. In Galatians 6, 7 to 10, it teaches about the principle of sowing and reaping. All the things we sowed in the springtime, and now we're reaping the harvest. I mean, Peter and Shoshana brings all their harvest here. But it began as a seed in the ground, and it grew into beautiful fruit and vegetables. And it says, the one who is taught the word of God is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows into his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. If we sow good seeds of repentance and forgiveness in our hearts during the season, we will reap a harvest of fruit and blessing in the coming year in our relationship with Adonai and our relationships with one another. But if we continue to sow seeds of anger and allow our hearts to be offended, if you hold on to unforgiveness in your heart, if you're stubborn and selfish and harden your hearts towards others, you will reap the consequences. A broken relationship. A broken family. God is not mocked, for whatever we sow, we will reap. There's that principle in God's word. Whatever we sow, we will reap. God wants us to reap a harvest of fruitfulness and blessing and peace. So these 40 days of preparation are really intended to give us enough time to make things right with Adonai and one another. 40 days is a time of testing, time of preparation. Israel, I'm sure, when they refused to enter the promised land, they were given a life sentence of 40 years in the desert. I'm sure they took a lot of time regretting their decision of not trusting and believing God. And they faced the consequences of having to wander in the desert for 40 years, feeling the guilt of not trusting God and believing in Him. You know, in Psalms 139, the next slide, it tells us, "To search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So this is a prayer that we pray. God, search our hearts. Search my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. God knows everything about us. Reveal if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. During this month, we begin this uncomfortable practice of going to those people whom we may have offended in the past year, or those who may have offended you, and try to make things right. Traditionally, this is a time of year when we make a special effort to ask forgiveness from those people we may have offended, or those we may have had a falling out with. Obviously, we should be doing this throughout the year, you know, that every, you know, whenever we sin, we need to confess our sins. But there's something about doing this together as a community, which we've done for many years, that we gather together as a community and we confess our sins together as we go through the Ohed prayer. But this one time of the year is a time that we can really challenge and encourage and admonish one another to make every effort to ask for forgiveness of others that you may have issues with. It's just really a time to evaluate our relationship with God and with one another. Our husbands, our wives, our sons and daughters, our siblings, our brothers and sisters in the Messiah. It's a time of really examining our hearts. So do you have any unresolved issues with anyone? I'm sure that we made it through this whole year without offending anyone, right? You know, and we know that's impossible because Yeshua said it's impossible because, you know, our tongue is a deadly member, smallest member, but yet boasts of great things. And so is there anyone that you may try, that you make a point of avoiding, either a family member or even someone in the congregation? Do you know that our relationship with Adonai is measured by our relationship with others? 1 John 4:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." If we say that we love God and we hold on to unforgiveness in our hearts towards others, especially family members, because that's where a lot of the conflict arises within a family, then we're not walking in love. And so it's really a healthy process every year for our congregation to wipe the slate clean and restore unity in our community. My goal this past year has always been to work towards building a healthy community physically. God wants us to be physically well, emotionally, and spiritually. And God wants us to prosper and be in good health, but also the Lord wants our relationships to be healthy as well. Because if there's discord and division in our body, it will destroy the unity that we're trying to build. And God commands a blessing when we are in unity. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Lord will command a blessing. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, as looking over our congregation for the past year, I believe there has been a good year of relationships in our congregation. There's been a good spirit of unity, of caring, reaching out to those in need. You know, Jerry and I didn't have to face many major relationship issues. But when we did, the Lord gave us wisdom to bring healing and reconciliation and restore unity. And, issues will always arise in the congregation. And it's how we deal with them that will determine whether we're able to maintain the unity that God desires for us to walk in. And so I really commend our congregation for striving to maintain unity in Beth Shekinah. Now, as a shepherd, I still love leading this flock. And I've been doing it for 30 years. Can you believe that? I can't believe it myself. I've been leading this congregation for 30 years, and I still haven't lost my love and passion, for this congregation. Because the Lord has blessed us with some wonderful people. And this makes our ministry so much more enjoyable. We're not constantly dealing with conflicts and disagreements and discord and division when we have a congregation that really works well together. But having said this, don't get too comfortable. Because I've learned over the years that when things are going well, you can be sure that we'll be tested. And the enemy will look for an opening, any opening to attack. And I don't have this on the slide. But in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be of sober spirit. That's why, Peter said, Kepha, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him and stand firm in your faith. Resist him and stand firm in your faith. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist the evil one. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. We're not alone. Millions of believers around the world are facing struggles and difficulties, and they're overcoming them. But we all have a roaring lion that he's prowling around this earth, looking whom he may devour, and he sends his accomplices. He sends his little minions of demons to go and try to harass us and to disrupt our lives. But even though our congregation may be not facing any major crisis, that does not mean that some of you are not having some challenges with people in your own sphere of influence. Perhaps some of you are having issues with a daughter, a son, a relative, a co-worker, someone that you're finding difficult to deal with. We're all going to have issues. That's what life is all about. That's part of life, is facing issues. But then how do we deal with those issues when they arise? Do we harden our hearts? Or do we take the path of love and forgiveness? In the parable after parable, Yeshua taught us not to limit the mercy of God. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And after Yeshua's ascension, the apostles took this message of reconciliation through the power of the Holy Spirit to Jews, beginning with the Jews and the Gentiles, and then all the nations of the earth. And that's what's been happening in the last 2,000 years. In every generation, God's been taking out a people for his own possession, a people that will one day become a radiant bride in his presence. And they wrote to the congregations to continue to love one another just as the Father loved them. And the scripture I've shared the last couple of weeks, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And so can we say this is our attitude? Do we seek to live at peace with all men and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we see a brother or sister in need or suffering, do we reach out to them? We're called to bear one another's burdens. That's what a community does. That we reach out to each other. When one member suffers, we all suffer together. So I really encourage you to make it your goal this season of repentance to ask forgiveness from those you may have hurt or offended, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's uncomfortable, you know, we need to make things right with one another. That we need to own up to our shortcomings. Don't run away from your problems, because I can assure you they won't go away. Just because you ignore them and hope they'll go away, but they don't. If you bear a grudge against anyone who sinned against you, forgive them. If they don't deserve it. Because we are forgiven even though we didn't deserve to be forgiven. It was by the grace of God, the love of God, that He chose to forgive us. I know many of us can be very stubborn. We need to walk in great humility. We need to imitate the love and character of the Messiah in our hearts. Now, just as the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, He forgives iniquity and transgression, so should we follow His example. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, I think there might be one there, Yeshua said, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." You know, forgiveness is not automatic. Just because God forgives our sins does not mean He's going to forgive us if we're holding on to unforgiveness with somebody else. There's no love without forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without love. So I challenge you to begin praying and asking the Lord to show you who you need to get right with. And I'll be speaking about this and emphasizing this over the next 40 days until it really gets into our hearts and we really take action. I kind of want to end with a couple of slides. This next one, well, forgiveness heals. This next one, I thought was kind of interesting. Just when the caterpillar thought his life was over, he became a butterfly. You know, and that's, I thought that was kind of interesting, because I love butterflies. You know, and actually I have a collection of 60 or 65 butterflies in my study at home, and so I've always loved butterflies. I realized that they all began as a caterpillar, but then they were transformed into this beautiful butterfly. And it reminds me of a scripture in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. It said, "Now the Lord is a spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we are in a process of transformation and change. And that's what the month of Elul is intended to do, is to bring about change and transformation in our lives. And as we don't resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, as we submit to Him, as He speaks to us, that He transforms us from glory to glory. We become more and more obedient and humble before His presence. So I really encourage you, you know, in these coming days to take these days seriously, to sow good seeds in your heart. And ask the Lord to really search your heart and reveal if there's anything in your heart that you need to make right with someone close to you, someone that you become estranged with. God wants you to make things right, because if God was willing to forgive us, why is it so difficult for us to forgive one another? Amen. So Lord, thank you, God, as we begin this first day of Elul, this month of preparation. Lord, you would indeed search our hearts. Examine us to see if there's anything in our lives that we need to bring into submission to you. Lord, we just bring it before you. We bring it to the cross. We ask, oh God, that we would humble ourselves, we would repent, that we would turn from any unforgiveness in our hearts that we would have towards anyone. A close family member, Lord God, we've been holding on with unforgiveness. Lord, help us to be willing to forgive and let go. And learn to love unconditionally, even as you love us unconditionally. But we pray this would be a year of change and transformation in our lives. This will be a year of freedom, that we are set free from those things that have held us in bondage. And you would release us, Father, so we can really walk with you know, and have a blameless conscience both before you and before one another. Lord, we are living in prophetic times, as we know, and that we need to be a bride that's alert and awake and ready, because, Lord, difficult times are ahead. And we need to be deeply rooted in your word and grounded in your word, so that we will not be led astray, that we will not be misled by the enemy who comes as the angel of light to deceive and blind the minds of the unbelieving and even the believing. So God, help us to have discernment. Help us to be led by your spirit and to really walk closely in your word and to really take hold of your word and not let go. And we just thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand together and if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way and you say, yes, Lord, I want, as this new month begins, I really want to just lay my heart before you and just to let you do whatever needs to be done in my life to make my heart right. I want to have a good year of blessing. I want to have a good year of health and just to have a good year of really experiencing your blessing in a way that I've never before. So just really come forward, and we just want to have some of our people who are here to pray with you. And to be here to encourage you. And because that's what we do, we are here to pray and encourage one another. And so Lord, just as the Lord speaks to your heart, just come forward and we'll pray for you. And in this coming week, we invite you to just take some time to ask God to search your heart and reveal those areas in your life that you need to make right with him and with others. In Yeshua's name.